CH Radio. Welcome to One Smart Mother, exploring topics of interest for women as they transition to motherhood. This show will help to make you one smart mother. And now, here's your host, Nina Sutton.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nina Sutton. Welcome to One Smart Mother. Today, our guest is Catherine Allen. Catherine is a good friend of mine who is a member of MFT3, Marriage and Family Therapy of Trumbull. She is highly experienced in the area of domestic violence. And hi, Catherine. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you for being here. I've asked Catherine to be on the show because domestic violence is a subject that is very near and dear to my heart. It is something that is a subject that is usually very misunderstood. It's also something that is very taken to be a common in lower socioeconomic circles, and that is very, very, very untrue. And so Catherine is going to talk to us today about some of the basics, and we're going to start there. So, sure. Catherine, if you could just tell me a little bit about your history and working with domestic violence.
Sure. I started off as a domestic violence clinician when I was getting my practicum training and internship training at an agency called Family Services Woodfield in Bridgeport. And I worked with dozens and dozens and dozens of women who were victims there. Worked with their children as well. Mm-hmm. I also, at the same time, was working with male perpetrators at an agency called Family Reentry. I worked there for about 2 years as well. So, seen both sides of the issue. It is absolutely something that is not talked about enough.
Right.
It's something that, you know, I do believe in opening up the doors to the closet and shedding light on the monster and reducing its power by
Absolutely.
Talking about it. So
yeah.
Happy to be here today and do so.
Okay, great. Well, we would like to talk about some of the, you often in our conversation mention Lundy Bancroft's book, Why Does He Do That?
Sure.
And if you could talk a little bit about some of the issues that are raised in that book, we can start there.
Absolutely. That book is, by my standards and pretty much everyone else's standards who are passionate about this topic, it is the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It is the number one tool as far as getting the message out for women who are in the midst of it and don't really know that they're in the midst of it. No one wants to say, I'm a victim of domestic violence.
Right, to themselves, you know, or anyone else, for that matter.
Absolutely. If, you know, and domestic violence is so poorly misunderstood. Just because you don't have a broken arm and wind up in a hospital doesn't mean you're not a victim of
That's
domestic
right.
violence.
And especially if you do, but people are often in denial even
well,
with the broken arm.
He didn't hit me, so it must not be that bad.
Right.
And there are lots and lots of ways to inflict pain and damage to someone that don't involve hospital stays.
Okay.
So there are five pieces of what domestic violence really is. There's the physical part, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
There is the psychological part, telling someone that they aren't as good as who they think they are, ruining someone's self-esteem, breaking them down. There is the financial, mm-hmm. we can use financial control on mm-hmm. someone, not letting them have access to things. There are sexual assaults. Mm-hmm. Those are considered domestic violence as well.
Even among married people?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we can talk about that in a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. And then there's always the verbal. And mm-hmm. verbal seems to be the biggest one. It does leave a scar on the inside. Just because there's not a bruise on the outside doesn't mean that it doesn't leave a mark on the inside. Mm-hmm. So these are all domestic violence.
Right.
And people don't like saying the word, though.
So in the case of domestic violence, any of the five conditions that you've mentioned, you know, before people seek help, what often happens before? I mean, how much does it normally take for people to experience before they pick up a phone and call someone, anyone, whether it's a family member or an agency or
There's a spectrum, as there is with anything. Some people, based on, you know, the luck of the family that they were raised in, are able to sense something soon, mm-hmm. stop it, get out. A lot of other people don't. The line is different for everyone, yeah. but you know it when you reach it.
Yeah, there seems to be, from my experience, there seems to be a particular incidence of domestic violence when there's not enough support. The yeah. woman, or we can talk about men, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, typically the statistics are overwhelmingly in favor that women are the victims, mm-hmm. but men are absolutely the victims. So when I speak about it, I'll say, you know, I try to use the word victim and perpetrator, not male or female,
right,
that
right.
kind of a thing. But mm-hmm. the number one myth is that domestic violence happens to weak women. Mm-hmm. Women who are weak, or they're asking for it, or they're looking for it, sort of a thing. And this is something that I work passionately to help diffuse. This is not mm-hmm. true. Mm-hmm. The victim profile typically is a very strong, smart, independent woman. And unfortunately, again, I'm going to use the stereotype here of mm-hmm. male-female, mm-hmm. but if you're dating someone, involved with someone who is a male, most likely, who has low self-esteem, they feel sort of bad about themselves. And so they are attracted to a partner who is strong and energetic and outgoing and independent. And they like that fact. They like that trait in their partner. But then over time, they start feeling bad that they don't have that trait. Now this person seems to be showing me up.
And so a little defensive, and their own self-esteem is being put into question again.
Well, yeah, so then they have to squash mm-hmm. this powerful person in order mm-hmm. to rise themselves up. Mm-hmm. And then this is the pattern. Mm-hmm. It's not that a woman is just looking for someone who's going to give her a black eye or thinks poorly of herself and doesn't believe she deserves better. Typically, it's exactly the opposite. She gets involved with someone who she really thinks is nice. Mm-hmm. You know, most men are, again, I'm going to use the stereotypes,
right,
but
right.
most men are very, very charming on that first date. Mm-hmm. Very chivalrous, you know, very caring, very mm-hmm. attentive. And then things change.
Right.
And it's that first time that something changes that this very smart, very powerful, very self-assured woman will say to herself, wait a minute. No. This can't be happening to me. I can't have made that mistake. I can't have picked someone like that. Mm-hmm. No. And so she minimizes it. She rationalizes it. She says, well, maybe I did burn the dinner, or maybe mm-hmm. he had a bad day at mm-hmm. work, or maybe, you know, someone did ding his car and that's okay. I'll just let this
he had
one
a bad
slide.
Day. Yeah.
And now the cycle has started.
Mm-hmm. And do these women or victims often talk to their friends about it?
Early on, no. Absolutely not, because they can't even talk to themselves about it.
Right.
They cannot even admit
and
it
denial.
To themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's this very, very gentle, very slow, pervasive process. And I have an analogy that I use. It was taught to me, and it's we call it the frog in the pot.
And what is that?
Well, if you have a pot of water on a mm-hmm. stove of nice, cold, or, you know, room temperature water, mm-hmm. and you put a frog in it.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of sits there,
mm-hmm.
swimming around, getting all comfy. You slowly turn up the heat on the stove.
Yeah, that's how you cook a lobster also.
Yeah, this frog acclimates to yeah, the water, yeah. stays in there. It's kind of comfy. I don't mm-hmm. have to go anywhere else. This is all
yeah.
right. Acclimates mm-hmm. as the heat gets hotter and hotter and mm-hmm. hotter until, again, this is that personal line. Every woman has her own line. Some women reach it fast, some don't.
Right, right.
But there's a point when you're going to become soup.
Exactly. Well, I would think it's just like the frog or the lobster. It's almost becoming sleepy. You sort of lose touch with your emotions and feelings, and or they become so squelched that you're no longer aware of them. So that's very interesting. We're going to take a brief break, Catherine, and mm-hmm. Come back, and we have a lot of interesting and very informative information for our listeners. So stay tuned. You're listening to One Smart Mother on 1490 WGCH.
Nina Sutton, host of One Smart Mother, began working with women more than 20 years ago as the founder and director of one of our area's first nanny placement services. Nina now consults with women as they transition to motherhood, helping them navigate the challenges of combining motherhood and career. Many of Nina's clients are educated and accomplished women, corporate executives, PhD candidates, medical doctors, and military personnel. With a Psychology in Education master's degree from Columbia Teachers College, Nina is the only certified educator in Connecticut and Westchester County to provide the John Gottman Bringing Baby Home program. She's also a member of the Postgraduate Association of Harvard Medical School's Department of Continuing Education. Are you one smart mother? Nina invites you to visit her website at ninasutton.net. That's ninasutton.net.
Welcome back to One Smart Mother. You're listening to Nina Sutton, and my guest today is Catherine Allen. We're discussing domestic violence. Catherine is a member of the MFT3 team, Marriage and Family Therapy Associates in Trumbull, and Catherine has a very long experience, a very long history of working with domestic violence, and she's going to, Catherine, if you could tell us a little bit, you mentioned before the various areas or different types of domestic violence, sexual, physical, psychological, verbal, and financial. There is probably a common thread in all of those. Can you tell us what that might be?
Well, I mean, there is the verbal piece. Mm-hmm. You know, these are all going to be coming across from someone who has over time asserted themselves as being more powerful over you or smarter or in such a way that it makes you feel like you can't even trust your own instincts anymore. Mm-hmm. So the verbal piece, the verbal cue, mm-hmm. definitely becomes something that women, again, I'm using the generalizations mm-hmm. here, but they come very attuned to. Mm-hmm. So what is the tone of his voice when he comes in the room? Have I done something right? Is it wrong? Is it okay today? Mm-hmm. Is it not okay today? And really the underlying aspect of someone who is an abuser is really power and control. Yeah. It's not about the sex. It's not about the smartness. It's not about the money.
The specifics, yeah.
No, it's about this person doesn't feel that they have very much power or control in their lives for whatever reason, mm-hmm. usually very tragic reasons mm-hmm. of their own.
Yep.
I've worked with a lot of perpetrators.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they feel this powerlessness. They feel like they don't have power and control in their lives. And so then they look to assert it on someone else so that now I feel like I've got power.
And isn't that often one of the reasons that victims stay is that they see this injured bird, you know, mm-hmm. this injured party who they, as you say, they're smart, educated, you know, women or, you know, primarily women and professional, yet they have a feeling side that may really empathize with their partner and say, gee, you know, well, you know, if he hadn't been abused when, well, his father was this way or his mother was this way, or if he'd only stopped drinking, it's a lot of ifs.
There's a lot of rationalizations mm-hmm. and minimizations mm-hmm. and trying to make sense of something that doesn't make sense because mm-hmm. this person that you've now associated your life with mm-hmm. used to be different.
Yes.
It always starts out nice. Mm-hmm. It doesn't start off with a punch in the face mm-hmm. and, you know, a smack after your first date.
Mm-hmm.
There would not be a second date. So it starts off very, very gentle and kind and caring. And so then this partner now wonders, well, where did that person go? That person's mm-hmm. in there.
So and it becomes a challenge to a certain degree.
Yes. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece that I definitely want to give to people that as far as a sign that there's something wrong
mm-hmm.
is there's a sense in the person who's the victim. If I don't do something that my perpetrator, my partner mm-hmm. is asking, there's an underlying sense of or else.
Mm-hmm. The or else.
The
factor.
Or else. And all of our imaginations are far greater than usually reality can be. So that or else can be anything. And
mm-hmm.
it's our own demon, that our own or else that keeps mm-hmm. us from maybe listening to our better selves, listening to our fight or flight instinct, and definitely giving in to, well, it's okay this time. At least I didn't get hit. At least this hasn't happened. Every person who's been in this syndrome has their own personal line of, well, I can take enough. I can take up to this point. But once this line is crossed, whatever mm-hmm. this is mm-hmm. for each person, that's their own personal issue on that one as well.
Well, and speaking of, you know, having sort of reached limits, we'll talk about this during another show more specifically, but today we decided we would talk mostly about basic principles of domestic violence. But one of the things involved with domestic violence among the affluent is the fact that there's so much room between, just between homes. It's you don't hear the yelling. You don't hear the crying. You don't hear things that in close quarters or houses that are located closely together or apartments. There's a lot more room for hiding the whole condition.
Yeah. And, well, if you have a black eye, you can go to the house in Aspen. Or you can go to Rio. Or you can... woman with means is in a different boat than the people who don't have those means. And that's what, you know, again, there's these fabulous resources out there. Shelters, safe houses, things that are necessary.
We're going to get into that in a couple of minutes about the resources. And I really want to do, and we've talked about this, I want to follow up this show with another show specifically geared to domestic violence among the affluent and how prevalent it really is.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk about that as well. I definitely want to get into, while we have a few minutes before our next break, I'm talking about, A, the whole sexual violence and teen dating, as well as, in general, how domestic violence affects children.
Well, yeah, think about it. I mean, if you're a young child, usually this happens when someone's maybe pre-verbal or, you know, up to 2-3 years old. If you are looking at your parents or your mother plus male adult, whatever the roles might be, this is what grown-ups do. This is what it's supposed to look and feel like. And the feel is the thing that sticks with us long-term. Not the word always so much, but the feel. So as a young, say a young girl grows up in a home where there's violence and abuse, she now looks for a relationship in her mid-teens, and it is, what she's really looking for is the thing that feels familiar, not the thing that looks better.
Not consciously, certainly subconsciously.
Absolutely subconsciously. And so even though parents might think it's safer to keep the family together, well, at least we're a family together, at least we're a family together, actually it can counter, it can kind of bite you. Well, later on down the road.
I have a client that I work with right now, and a young lady who is experiencing tremendous anxiety that has filtered down into her schoolwork and her social relationships as well as her own self-esteem. And it the source is really the relationship between her mother and father that goes back to when she was a baby and the violence and trauma that she saw and what she now experiences. And she used an expression that I found very, very touching. She said that when her dad enters the room, that she often feels like she wants to become, she's learned, I should say, how to become part of the woodwork.
Oh, yeah.
It's the chameleon concept.
Yeah, and because you don't know what's coming in the room,
absolutely.
So you have to be ready to assimilate any mood that comes
exactly in. And I asked her if it's sort of like when a victim of violence has to play dead or decides to play dead.
Absolutely.
They think that the perpetrator will go away and leave them alone, and she said that's exactly it.
That's the fight or flight. That's how antelopes can live in the jungle. A tiger can attack them, but if he goes and to go get the family and this antelope isn't quite dead yet, bam, off they go. You play dead.
And here's a young lady who, you know, is currently, has anxiety issues and is just becoming a teenager and ready to start having relationships. And she's already talking about how these relationships have already been affected by what she's seen and what she's experienced, the trauma she's experienced. We're going to take a brief break. This is Nina Sutton, One Smart Mother, 1490 WGCH.
Nina Sutton, host of One Smart Mother, began working with women more than 20 years ago. As the founder and director of one of our area's first nanny placement services, Nina now consults with women as they transition to motherhood, helping them navigate the challenges of combining motherhood and career. Many of Nina's clients are educated and accomplished women, corporate executives, PhD candidates, medical doctors, and military personnel. With a Psychology in Education master's degree from Columbia Teachers College, Nina is the only certified educator in Connecticut and Westchester County to provide the John Gottman Bringing Baby Home program. She's also a member of the Postgraduate Association of Harvard Medical School's Department of Continuing Education. Are you one smart mother? Nina invites you to visit her website at ninasutton.net. That's NINASUTTON.net.
Welcome back to One Smart Mother. We've got just a few minutes left, and we have Catherine Allen here. Catherine is a member of MFT3, Marriage and Family Therapy Associates of Trumbull, and we're talking about domestic violence. Catherine, we've saved, in a sense, some of the most important issues until last, and the warning signs. Can you give our listeners some warning signs to look out for?
I'll
and take your time, because we have a few seconds anyway.
They're a little different for like the teen population than they are for the adult population, so I'm going to do the teen ones really fast.
Okay.
Again, if you're a mother, then you might want to look for these things either in your son or your daughter.
Okay.
So are your kids no longer hanging out with his or her circle of friends? Isolation is definitely something that you can sense in a child. If they were popular and now suddenly they're not doing a whole lot with anyone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing the same clothes. Sometimes your partner will tell you that you only look good in something, or that you don't look good in something, or that you don't look good in anything.
Or they might not want you wearing something because it causes too much attention.
Exactly. Is the child distracted when you talk to them? They're really, really focused on something else. Are they constantly checking their cell phone, getting extremely set when the phone's turned off? Because, you know, if they don't answer that call, or else. Is there. They get very withdrawn, quieter, or they can become very angry and irritable when you ask them how they're doing.
That's the defensiveness.
Absolutely. They make a lot of excuses. Suddenly there's, well, it's because, well, you know, he didn't really, well, you know, it was this, it was that, well, you know, she didn't, yada, yada, yada. It's a lot of defensiveness, excuses. Showering immediately after getting home. Sometimes, you know, again, sexual abuse happens early these days.
Mm.
Our society isn't, you know, always what we want it to be, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Unexplained scratches or bruises. Has the child been grabbed? Have they been withheld? Something like that.
So how can a parent approach a child then who, when they see these warning signs and there's that defensiveness factor already in place? What can you have any, do you have any suggestions
for
them?
Number one is non-judgmental. You know, let the child
never
know
I told
that,
you so.
No.
Right.
I never put down the partner, because that might make them latch onto the partner more.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to say, well, I was just kind of wondering. I just sort of noticed. I'm a little curious. Just be open and curious and non-judgmental and let the child talk to you about it. It might help. I mean, 80% of women in this country are sexually abused or molested by the time they're 18 years old.
80%. And
80%.
Where does that come from, that statistic?
I actually didn't write that down with me, but I've known that one for a long time.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
A lot of this will be put onto the MFT3 website, and hopefully eventually onto my website as well, but Catherine will be placing it on the MFT3 website probably by the end of today.
Absolutely.
So, okay. 80%, that's quite a staggering statistic.
So the thing, too, is that I know this is, you know, one smart mother. The likelihood of the mother of this child having had some history of that is very, very great as well. So maybe being able to join in your child with your child on that level. I've experienced it, too. I get it. I see it. I'm here to help.
Well, I really appreciate that. And hopefully our listeners out there will strike a chord with all of our listeners, and to be more watchful for your own children, as well as to be more forthcoming yourselves. If you're experiencing any of these signs of domestic violence, please pay attention to them. And Catherine is going to give us some resources. There's actually there's a booklet that Catherine is telling me that lists all of the agencies in the state of Connecticut.
It's a fabulous, it's free.
Okay.
It's free through the CCADV, the Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence. You can get that online.
Okay.
And it's a wonderful, it's a little purple and yellow booklet.
Okay.
I've given it to a ton of clients. And, but it has the violence wheel, the nonviolence wheel, warning signs, suggestions for starting the conversation, how to put a safety plan together if you really do have to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last page has every single shelter in the state.
Okay.
So it's a wonderful resource.
Great. Wonderful. Well, and that will be available. That's available through the Connecticut, what was the?
Coalition Against Domestic Violence.
Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Catherine will have it on the MFT3 website, and I will
absolutely
get it posted on my website as well. Catherine, what is, can you give our listeners a few choices of first phone calls to make other than to friends and family and talk to them and reach out to really fight that isolation?
If you need the anonymity, there's the National Domestic Violence Hotline. That's 1-800-799-SAFE, S-A-F-E.
Okay. The National Domestic Violence Hotline.
Yes.
Okay.
For teens, there's a 24-hour-a-day one now. It's 866-331-9474, and that's sponsored by loveisrespect.org.
Loveisrespect.org.
It's a really wonderful site for teens, and again, that's great for parents with teens. Wonderful. Great conversation starter there. There are two agencies that I'm very familiar with here in Fairfield County. One is the DVCC, and that's in Norwalk and Stamford.
Yes.
Their number is 1-888-774-2900, and then the Center for Women and Families is in Bridgeport. Okay. And they are found at 203-334-6154. And always you can call the 211 info line that's free in the whole state of Connecticut. You can get some information. It's always anonymous.
Okay. Great. Well, and to come to either of our websites as well. I will make a brief mention. I know both of the agencies and would highly recommend them. I have actually attended some of the support groups at the DVCC in Norwalk, and I can tell you that they are not attended by lower socioeconomic women primarily. It was astonishing to me to find the education level of the women in the groups there. And I just really, as a last word, want to remind our viewers that this is not something to hide and live with. It's something to
talk about it
and take steps towards it. Catherine Allen, thank you so much for being a guest today.
My pleasure.
We'll
thank
be
you.
Back together. We've got some things brewing for September and October with October Domestic Violence Month coming up. And again, Catherine is, why don't you give the MFT3?
Marriage and Family Therapy of Trumbull.
Yes.
We're located on 2 Corporate Drive. And our phone number is 203-416-6008. And our website is MFT3.com.
Okay. And you work with you?
I have two partners. Mm-hmm. One is Kristen Arakwe. The other one is Virginia Williamson. And we have an associate named Nina Sutton, who is also on our site
We're planning some groups in the near future, so stay tuned for that. Catherine, again, thank you so much for your help and for bringing this subject out into the light. And you've been listening to One Smart Mother. My name is Nina Sutton. Again, don't live with domestic violence. Take the first steps you need to protect yourselves and your families. Thank you for listening. This is 1490 WGCH.
Come laugh, sing, and enjoy a delicious full buffet meal at